Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm nearing the end of a series talking about living in the balance of grace and faith. Tell you, this is a teaching that God has just transformed my life with, and I'm excited. I believe that God is changing lots of people's lives. I know that many of you are receiving as you watch this program, but I encourage you that you need to get these materials. I really believe that. It's not about the money to me. We make these things available for a donation of a certain amount. We suggest it. Not everybody gives that. Some people ask for stuff free. And we send out millions of free materials. I'm saying this because it's the truth. It'll change your life. And I can see the difference in people that just listen to 30 minutes a day. That's good, and I praise God for that. But if you could get this teaching and just saturate yourself with it, sit in it and let it soak, it would make a much, much greater impact on you. Plus, I promise you, you will need to go back and review this, because this whole world does not operate in grace. It operates on performance, and you'll lose this if you don't continue in it. And it's also a great way to share with other people. So tomorrow's going to be my last day to offer you these materials. I encourage you to please go to the effort of requesting them. We're now in the fifth and final teaching in this series, and it's entitled, God Loves Me Unconditionally. And I've been trying to make the point that because God does everything He does in your life by grace, grace by definition is unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor. God favors you because He is a good God, not because you are a good person. That offends some people who are trusting in your own goodness. And if you are offended by that, that is a very good indication that you really don't understand the grace of God. You're still a performance-based Christian or person. And that is the very thing that is stopping you. So everything is by grace, but does that mean that you just have nothing to do? No, you need to live a holy life, not in order to impress God. God loves you completely independent of what you deserve. But your holiness makes your heart sensitive to God, and it shuts a door on the devil and limits his access to you, and it provides a good witness to other people. But it is not the basis of God moving in your life. That's basically one of the things that you should take away from this teaching, is that God loves you unconditionally, and there is nothing you can do about it. You can't make Him love you more. You can't make Him love you less. Amen. That is nearly too good to be true. I want to use some verses out of Luke chapter 11. This is Jesus teaching on prayer, and I'm going to take this parable that Jesus gave about going to a friend at midnight and begging him for food. And he wouldn't do it at first, but because of his importunity, he just had to do it. And I'm going to take what is typically taught about that and show you that's the opposite of what it means, and then use the next few verses to show you that the Lord used a relationship between a parent and child to illustrate about how God feels about us. If most parents treated their children the way that religion teaches us that God treats us, there isn't a civilized nation on the face of the earth that wouldn't prohibit God from doing whatever. I mean, He would be outlawed. If He was a person, He'd be put in jail and persecuted and locked up for the treatment He gives His people. And yet this is the way that religion portrays God. So look at these verses in Luke chapter 11, verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Most people traditionally interpret this as saying this is the way that you approach God. God is like this man who was already in bed and asleep, and it was going to be bothersome to him to get up and extend goodness towards his friend. And so he just said, "Don't bother me. I'm in bed. Leave me alone. Go away." And this man just kept after it. And he said, though he didn't do it because of his friendship, he would do it because of his importunity. In other words, just repeated request, a refusing to quit and give up. And most people teach that this is the way we're supposed to approach God. But let me present this to you the exact opposite way. It starts by saying, which of you have a friend who would treat you this way? You know, I wished I could see you right now. I wished you were right in front of me. And I said, do you have a friend that if you were in need and you went to him at midnight and you really had a need and said, would you please help me? How many of you have friends that would say, I'm in bed, leave me alone? I bet you there's some of you say, oh, I have a friend like that. But I'm just telling you, that's not a friend. You might have an acquaintance. You might have a family member, somebody you know. But if they're a friend, did you know friends treat people better than this? The point of this whole parable is that people don't treat you this badly. If you had a friend and went and asked them for something, even though it was inconvenience, they would get up and do it just because they're your friend. You know, I've got friends right now that I could go to them and ask them for anything, and they would help me. They would do whatever they could to help me, even if it was inconvenient for them. Now, I don't impose on people, and I wouldn't do that unless I was really in need. But I'm saying I've got friends that would treat me. I don't have a single person that I call a friend who would treat me the way that this is presenting. And I think that that's the point that Jesus was making. Jesus was saying, you have relationships with people that treat you kinder than this. Why do you think God is so harsh and so hard to get to do something? We ought to believe that God is at least as kind and gentle and loving and caring as people are. Of course, that's a tremendous misrepresentation. God is infinitely greater than that. And that's the point of this. And so this man got up and did it just because he was, you know, it put him out and he wanted to get rid of his friend, get rid of him. But the Lord, look at the next few verses. In verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. This isn't a disjointed truth. It isn't something that is disconnected from the previous thing. He had just given this parable, and instead of making a comparison of the way that God is, he was making a contrast. And he was saying that God wouldn't treat you this way. This man might, you might know somebody who would do this, but God would never do it. I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. He's contrasting the way that God is. And then he says this in verse 10. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Think about this. Again, he's using the exact same thing. He's comparing our relationship to God to our relationship to our parents, making a comparison here of something that we can see and understand. How many of you, if you were a child and you went to your parents and said, could I have a piece of bread? How many of your parents would have given you a rock instead of a piece of bread so that you could bite on that? And instead of getting nourishment, something that tastes good, something that could sustain you, something that could break a tooth, cause you pain, how many of your parents would do that? It's possible, I'm reaching millions and millions of people, it's possible somebody's parents would have treated you that way, but I can guarantee you that is not a good parent, and that is not what the Lord is advocating. The vast majority of you, even if your parents weren't really good parents, even if your parents had a lot of problems and there was strife and division and other things, most of you, if you and as a child would have gone to your parent and said, could I have a piece of bread? They would have given you a piece of bread, not a rock for you to bite into. If that's the way your earthly parents treat you, why in the world would we ever embrace this thing that our Heavenly Father put cancer on me because I did something wrong? That parent just starved them. You know, I read on the internet just a couple of days ago that there was someone, I forget all the details, it's not important, but the point is, that a child wet their bed and the parent got so upset with them that they wouldn't give them any food or water for I think it was like 4 or 5 days. And it was during the summer. It was really, really hot. And the little boy died because of dehydration. And I can guarantee you they've locked up that parent. That parent is now in jail for child abuse and death. And that's wrong. Any person who would treat their children that way is wrong. God would be wrong if He treated us the way that religion says that He won't answer our prayer. He's just letting you stew in your juice. He's just letting you suffer because you hadn't gone to church. You didn't pay your tithes. You hadn't read the Bible in a week. And God's not going to answer your prayer until you straighten up and start doing this and this and this. That's not the way that God is. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Man, if your children says, do you have a piece of fish that I can eat? How many of you would hand him some serpent that could bite him, that could kill him, cause injury? No good parent would ever do that. In verse 12, or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If your child said, could I have a hard-boiled egg? How many of you would give him a scorpion to bite into? Man, this is inconceivable that any person would treat their children this way. Likewise, he says in the next verse, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know, if we would just use our heads for something besides a hat rack, if you would think through things, if people treat you this well, and these are fallen people who have a corrupt nature, every one of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and if fallen human beings treat people better than what is described here, why do we think that God wouldn't answer our prayer, that we just have to beg and plead with Him and not let Him go until we force Him to do something? The Lord is using relationships here to show that God is a God of love, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. And God loves us. He loves us unconditionally, and He does not want to give you just what you deserve. Despite what religion has told you, God is a God of love, and He moves by grace. The only thing He asks you to do is just believe and receive His goodness as a gift and not try and earn it. You know, I had a man come to one of my meetings here in Colorado Springs. This has been 20 or 30 years ago. He had a daughter that was in a wheelchair. She was a quadriplegic. And she was not only paralyzed from the waist down, but I mean her mind was affected. I don't even know exactly what was wrong with her, but she was just in a vegetative state. She didn't move. She didn't do anything. She didn't make sounds. She was 12 years old. They still had diapers on her. And during the ministry, I said something about it being God's will to heal every single person. And this man got mad and left because the way he had adjusted and a defense mechanism was that he said, it must be God's will that He made my daughter this way. And so when I said it wasn't God's will and that she could be healed, well then in a sense that was saying he had been living with less than God's best, that he could have done something to change this, and he got offended and he left. And the person who brought him to my meetings went out and caught him and he says, look, maybe you've misunderstood this guy or you ought to at least ask him and let him explain. And so the guy stayed around until after the service was over. And at the end of the service, he was talking to me. And his daughter was in this wheelchair right in front of me. And he was behind the wheelchair. So it was the man and then his daughter and then me. And I was talking to him over his daughter, looking at her. And he was mad at me saying, you're a terrible minister. How dare you say this? God made my daughter this way. It is God's will for my daughter to be in a vegetative state. God wants her to suffer. This is God's will. And I tried to talk to him, but every time I'd quote a scripture, he'd spin it somehow or another, and we were just getting nowhere. And finally, you know what I did? I did the exact same thing that Jesus did right here. I took a relationship between human beings to illustrate that our love is so strong. Don't we think that God loves people more than we do? And so this guy was already mad at me. I had nothing to lose. And I just looked at him and I said, what kind of father are you that you want your daughter in a wheelchair? That you don't care if she's ever normal? that she could ever interact with people, that she's 12 years old and still using diapers, and you want her like this. I said, what kind of man are you? And boy, this guy was already mad. He got really mad. I mean, to the point, he would have punched me. If I was, in a sense, on the other side of this wheelchair hiding from his daughter. He was mad at me, and he yelled at me. And he said, how dare you say that? He says, I would do anything within my power to help my daughter. If there was a surgery that would heal her, I would pay any amount of money. I'd mortgage my house. He says, I would go to jail for her. I would do anything. He says, if I could, I would become like she is so that she could be like me. How dare you say that I don't love my daughter? And right as he was making that point, I turned around and I said, and you think God Almighty loves your daughter less than you do? And you know what? He could argue doctrine with me. And he could say, oh no, God is sovereign. God caused this. But when I brought it down to relationship, he knew that there is nothing that would keep him from helping his daughter if he possibly could. And when I related it and said, and God Almighty, who has all power, you think that He is just indifferent, or He wills for your daughter to be there? See, intellectually, he might have been able to argue doctrine, but when you bring it down to relationship, he dropped all of his guard, and he began to cry, and he says, I see what you mean. He says, I don't believe that a loving God would want my daughter to be like this. He says, I can't conceive it. I can't conceive how a God who says He is love could want that. And you know, this is what the Lord is saying here, and this is what I've been trying to say in this series, that God loves you, and He is not holding back from you the way that you've been taught. Many of you have been taught, well, I know that He loves other people, but I did this. If you could see all the things that I've done wrong. You know, you see me on television, and I'm cleaned up. You don't see me at my worst. You don't see all the things. I know all of the rotten things that I've ever done, and all of my wrong feelings and emotions and everything. And it takes faith for me to believe that God loves me, because I know me and I'm not a perfect person. I don't know you, but I know that you aren't the perfect person. If you knew me as well as you know you, you wouldn't have any more faith in God loving me than you do in God loving you. See, it's this performance stuff that gets in the way, and we think, oh yeah, God is love, but He would never release that love because of me. You know, this man and his daughter, this example that I was using, let's just say that this daughter wasn't born that way. Let's say that she was 4 or 5 years old and then some sickness struck her and she became quadriplegic and in a vegetative state. You know, no parent would have, if he had the power to heal her, no parent would just say, well, you deserve it because you know what? You were disobeying me. You smarted off to me and to your mother. You did not make up your bed. You did not do this. And so therefore, it's justified. You deserve this. No parent would treat their child that way. God would never punish us with all of these things. And yet this is what's being taught about God all of the time. I'm telling you that this teaching on living in the balance of grace and faith kills that. If you really understand what grace is, it's unconditional. If it's grace, it has nothing to do with you. God has provided everything He's provided, not because of some worth or value or goodness or performance on your part. It's just based on the fact that God, by grace, has moved. And all you've got to do is either humble yourself and quit trusting in your own goodness and receive it as a gift, or if you continue to maintain, but no, I deserve this. It's not fair. How come God hasn't done this? Because I'm doing this and this and this. If you are trusting in your goodness, that's the very thing that stops the faith of God. Or let me say, it stops the grace of God. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, we have access by faith into this grace. The thing that gains you access, entrance to the grace of God is faith, not legalism, not performance, not your goodness, not your righteousness. If you are trying to access God's grace because you are living righteously, holy, you're doing all of these things, then you are missing God's grace. The only way to gain entrance, access into the grace of God is through faith. Faith is not something you do in order to get God to do something. Faith is just simply your positive response to what God has already done by grace. Faith is simply the way you appropriate something that has already been provided through God's grace, unconditional, unearned, undeserved favor. Boy, that's powerful. And I know that there are people all around the world right now that a light's going on the inside of you, and you're saying, I've never understood this. And God is speaking directly to you. And if you would open up your heart right now, if you would just let go of your religious traditions that, you know, violate all of the things I've been saying, if you would just open your heart right now, you could feel an unconditional love and grace from God coming towards you, completely separate from anything that you deserve. You could feel and experience a pure love of God, not something that you bartered for and traded in your goodness to get a little bit of favor, but a love that is totally unearned and undeserved. And it would transform your life. That's what happened to me. That's what's happened to a lot of people, is just understanding the unconditional love of God. And I know in my heart that God is ministering that to people right now. Father, I pray for people all over the world right now that I know you're ministering to them. And people that maybe with good intentions and they just didn't know this, I don't know what the motivation is, but for whatever reason, they didn't know these truths. And they have been trying to be good enough to earn your love. Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit right now helps them to understand that it's not about them being good enough. You are offering your unconditional love to them, completely separate from any worth, any goodness on their part. There's some of you right now that just need to open up your heart and receive Jesus as your Lord. Many of you have known He existed, and you felt like that for sure you were headed to hell and there was coming a payday and you were going to reap what you've sown. But today you've understood that God is offering you salvation as a gift. You don't have to earn it. You just reach out and receive it. You know, we have a phone number on our screen, and we have people standing by at our phones that they could pray with you. They could send you these materials, but it's more important that if you have never received this love and have never been born again, that you could be born again. Someone could pray with you and help you. Maybe you have been born again, but you've been living under this false impression of thinking you had to earn God's favor, and because of it, you haven't been experiencing the blessings. There's people at that phone number that could pray with you and help you, and I encourage you to call. I also want to remind you that tomorrow is going to be my last day to offer these materials on living in the balance of grace and faith. And so I encourage you to listen to our announcer and call or write and receive these materials. And also, if you need prayer, just ask for it. People will be glad to pray with you, and it could change your life. Then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
And I noticed that I had a pimple here, and I didn't think anything of it.
The doctor said you need to have surgery right away to have that removed.
And she said, well, I'll look it up, and I'll call you back. So here I'm driving to work, and she calls me back very seriously. She says, Mike, it means that you have
malignant neoplasm cancer.
I was made whole by Jesus Christ, and this is the only direction my body can go. Devil, you can't have me. I've already been bought.
For more information, log on to awmi.net. Look to the left and click on Ministry News. Then click on today's TV news story. Take a healing journey with Mike and Caroline Hesch. Are you a world changer? Harris Bible College has extension schools across America. The same truth that sets you free at our main campus in Colorado Springs will set you free in Dallas, Texas, Phoenix, Arizona, Kansas City, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dyer, Indiana, Orlando, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Plymouth, Massachusetts, Jacksonville, Florida, and Gardner, Massachusetts. Log on to CharisBibleCollege.org today or call our phone center and ask for a complete listing of CBC Extension School locations near you. Change your life. Change the world.
Andrew's complete teaching titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is now available in a new paperback book for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. In addition, you can get this teaching in a companion study guide for a gift of $35 or more. This teaching was also recorded live at a Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled God Loves Me Unconditionally, free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Lewisville, Texas, Wednesday, November 9th, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth seminar November 10th through the 12th. He'll also be at Calvary Cathedral in Fort Worth, Sunday, November 13th, in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar, January 5th through the 7th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 19th through the 21st. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Walk in that healing. Because I tell you, people need to know that the Lord wasn't pleased with his disciples' inability to meet the need. He gave them...